Welcome back to Bestie Talk, episode 3.
It's your favorite Bestie duo. I'm Sakura Lee.
I'm Chris Benjanez.
And welcome to Bestie Talk. We have two hot topics that we're discussing today, you all. You're going to really want to comment and put in your thoughts and your inputs on this. One of the first topics that we're talking about is valuable lessons that we've learned from previous relationships. Kristen, you want to kick it off?
Yeah, I feel like I learned something with every relationship. Sometimes some good, some bad. But one thing I do know that I see is a familiarity, if that's the word, is I learned something about myself and I grow and I realize what I don't want to accept. And I evaluate myself and I'm like, okay, how were you even able to put up with half of the stuff you put up with in the past? But it just took me growing and realizing what I didn't want, what I wasn't going to be acceptable of, to kind of get to where I am today. The biggest one I think I learned is don't rush into things. Just kind of take your time. Really get to know a person before you enter into a long-term commitment with them.
I really agree, especially with the first statement you made about how important it is to, you know, just you're learning yourself as you date people and as you have relationships. That was one of my number one things as well. I learned to put myself first. And I know that a lot of people may think that that's selfish, but I do think that in a relationship, you want to be your best self. Like you want to be whole. You want to be whole physically, spiritually, emotionally, and that's what makes, you know, those long-term relationships that lead to marriage so much better. At least that's what I think from my perspective. So I just learned to put myself first, keep my values high, like not to compromise those for people. And like you said, you learn something new with each and every person because everyone is different. One of the things that I learned from previous relationships that's really different, someone told me that the next time that I dated someone or entered a relationship, to make sure that I give my all to that person the first time. And that's something that, you know, we don't really go all in. Like when you're dating someone, you're getting to know that person. A lot of times we don't go all in because that's a big risk. But since I, you know, have changed and grown a lot, matured, as I keep those standards and values high, I am able to show people like, this is who I really am. And either they accept it or not, either we align or we don't. But I think that was a really interesting takeaway that I had from previous relationships.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, it's an ongoing process. Because the older we get, I think our perspective changes of people and ourselves. One thing I've learned is to stop making expectations for people and just kind of go with the flow. Go with what they're showing me, not what they're telling me. And stop expecting this person to do X, Y, and Z because that's how I would move. And everyone is not me. So you have to learn to love people in their own language and not how we're used to be loving or dated or whatever the case may be.
Right. And you also don't want to become delusional. So like that goes to the point of what you said, seeing people the way that they are for what they're showing you, not having any expectations. Cause I've been there before where I had like certain expectations. I'm like, oh, I know that this is a great person. They have so much potential. And then I saw things in that person that they didn't see in themselves. So I was painting this rosy red picture when it was broken. And I mean, you know, that's okay, but it's just like lesson learned there. You definitely want to date from like, well, you know, you're going to have your own experience and feelings about it. But at the end of the day, you want to be able to step away and say, okay, well, what is this person really showing me? What are their actions? What am I actually seeing? Not what I hope to be or what, you know, not what do I
hope to be. Not what they're telling me.
Right. Because you can paint yourself married with somebody on the first date because it's like, oh, this is such a good catch. I'm excited.
I know. Seeing if our last name sounds good with our name.
Oh, we took a picture together. We look good together.
And it's right.
Like, no, that's not the person for you.
No, that happens though. I don't know. It's a process. I really feel like it's a process. Because I didn't really learn how to date until I was in like my 30s. I feel like,
Right.
because you know,
If
when
I
you're
ever have.
younger, it's like going together and you're trying to like tie this person down and you don't want them texting other females. You don't want them doing the whole shebang. Like, no, that's not life. People are going to have friends of the opposite sex. They're going to have coworkers that they're cool with, hang out with in life. Like, you can't tie a person down because you are exclusive with them or sleeping with them or whatever the case may be.
I agree with you on that. And that's my advice. Like I said, my son is 16, so like he's dating now. And I just tell him to just take things slowly. Like, you want to start off just conversing with people, just to see where they are, who they are, and then those next steps will come. I don't think rushed at all.
Day by day.
Right. Because after 90 days, some people have a whole different personality. It changes over time, like as you go through things, I feel like you see more, you learn more about that person too.
Yeah, an old boss of mine said you'll never really know a person, you just know what they show you, because people can paint a picture of what they want to be perceived as, but in reality, that's not really them. And people will only know what you allow them to see and what you show them. So.
Right. We want y'all's input on this. Here's the question for you. How has your partner changed since when you first met them? And I really want some feedback from the married couples because I'm assuming that you guys have been together for at least a year, so you've seen them through a full 4 seasons. And we just want to know, like, over time, has that person grown, evolved, or changed in any way? Yes or no?
Yeah, because you have to see people, you have to see them when they're grieving. You have to see them when they may be broke or having financial struggles. It's just different seasons of life that people go through that you might not see in a year. It may take you years to finally see how someone reacts in particular situations. So I've learned that you will never find a perfect person. You just find someone that you're willing to go through the struggles with, like they're
To be
worth
wife
going
with.
through these seasons.
Yeah. That's beautiful. Wow. As we're talking about it right now, it's like I have a whole nother revelation about covenant and marriage. Like, you are going to keep growing, because even when two whole people come together, they're going to be like a new person.
Yeah,
Like,
you become willing.
yeah, they're going to be like a super being at that point. And then you guys are going to keep, growing and evolving and changing together. So I think that's beautiful.
Because you're going to pick up on their habits, they're going to pick up on your habits. So it's a thing. I think it's beautiful. I feel like that's what's going to happen. You just never know. Because, like, if you get with someone and they like to work out a lot, for instance, if you really love them, you become interested in the things that they're somewhat interested in. So you might start working out too. So, yeah.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited.
Thank
That's a
you.
beautiful, like, that's thinking about it. That's a beautiful thing. I never really just took the time to process like how beautiful relationships are and like those connections and how they change. That's why you got to make sure you pick the most, like you gotta vet the person you choose, ladies. Like we can just
Absolutely.
choose. We don't have to. I remember when I was younger, sometimes I would choose people that lasted the longest, like those that were the most persistent in trying to talk to me. And those were the worst choices that I ever could have made. So I think it would have been much wiser for me to choose people that align with me, that align with where I was in life and where I saw myself, like in the next 5 years, someone that I could grow with instead of the person that just kept showing up the most. Because some people do keep showing up and they won't go away. But that doesn't mean that that person is for you. So don't fall prey to that, ladies.
Yeah, don't settle because of the time that you've invested in it. And I've known that to happen with a lot of couples. Like, hey, we've been together this amount of time. We might as well get married. Like, no, don't might as well marry me. I want you to do it because that's what you want to do. Not because, oh, we put in this time. why not? They've been there the longest. And no, and I feel like if your person is really someone you want to be with long term, you'll go ahead and lock that down. You won't take the chance of them being with anyone else, you know?
Right. And so that makes me think of the question, what do you think about being with somebody because you love them versus you're attached to them? Because, like, you know, thinking of being in love with somebody, like, you're choosing that person first. You're choosing to go through long suffering, to be kind, mm-hmm. to love them unconditionally. And whereas, like, with an attachment, you're just used to that person. You're used to their ways. You know them. Yeah. You're afraid to get to know somebody else. I know personally, I have been in relationships based on attachment instead of love. But, like, now that I know better, I'm doing better. So I'm looking at the love aspect and how there can be, like, reciprocity in the relationship between me and the other person. Mm. And y'all, comment on this. Drop a comment below. Are you in your current relationship because of love or because you are used to them and you become attached?
Mm. I really like my person I'm with, but I haven't been there long enough for it to be like, oh, I'm here for the time being. But yeah, I don't know. Which brings us to our next topic.
Let's get into it.
Being equally yoked in relationships. What does that look like for you? What about you, bestie? What does being equally yoked look like for you?
Okay, so being equally yoked for me, first and foremost, they have to believe in Jesus. They have to believe that Jesus is Lord, because I'm a wife already to Christ, right? So my husband is going to lead me, you know, he's going to be the head of the household. And in order for him to lead me and for me to trust in his leadership, he's going to have to believe in Christ. So whoever I'm dating, that's going to be one of the key things. They'll have to believe in Christ, and they will have to, for me personally, I'm always growing. Like, every 2 years, I become a whole new person, and it's very much intentional. I value personal development, self-development in all areas, emotional, physical, spiritual. Like, I'll go to counseling, workout, all those kind of different things. So I do want to be with somebody who also values personal development. And for me, being equally yoked also means that we just have the same morals and values. Like, they don't have to be a replica of me. In fact, I prefer that they don't, because I don't know if I could, like, live with a replica of myself. But, like, we just have to agree on the same values and the same beliefs. What does it look like for you?
Yeah, definitely the belief system. That's one thing. But more so, I think, like, upbringing. That plays a big part in relationships and marriage and things like that, because how someone was, you know, disciplined growing up, the morals that they have growing up, what they believe a family unit looks like. That's one thing that I think people should be yoked on. I think, like, education wise,
you should be
equally yoked in that aspect too. I'm not saying, like, you both have to have, like, you know, a master's degree or whatever the case may be, but you have to know that that person can solve some problems, read some instructions, put some things together. Like, you got to know that they're there. Because that tells a lot about a person. Like, are you able to start something and finish it? Like, are you able to be self-disciplined to get to the finish line? So that's one thing. Let's see. Financially, that's an interesting one there. I think you should be somewhat financially yoked. But I want my man to have more than me, so...
Right.
I want him to have more than me. But if that's not, you know, the case, I'm sure I love my person regardless. But ideally, if you are leading, you got to give me something to follow.
They have to be the provider. I agree with you on that. I want to really dig into what you talked about with upbringing. You said, like, it's important to know that person's views of family, to, you know, to look at like how they look at a family unit and how they were raised and all of those things. So for me personally, where I'm at right now in life, as far as like my career, what I do, everyone, I don't want to say everyone, but I would say at least 95% of my colleagues come from households where, you know, both parents were married and they raised them up. And this was like a path that they intentionally took. Whereas for myself, my mom died before I was 12. My dad put me up for adoption. I lived with my grandmother. I was homeless, kind of bounced around and went through all those different things. So from the outside looking in, for people who may hear that, they may be like, oh, this girl is battered and, you know, she can't possibly know what a real family looks like. So I would just speaking for those people who have gone through things like myself, who didn't see a perfect family unit, I really think that therapy has really helped me. And just like my relationship with God has helped me to understand what the family unit looks like. So I wouldn't necessarily judge a person if they did, or like look at them, you know, any less than anybody else if they came from a household that wasn't ideal. But I think their perspective of that today would matter a lot. Like, I would want to know, how did they process that trauma? Or like, how did they process their lack of things in their upbringing? And like, what are their thoughts on that today? So I think that's important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's important as well. But not only that, like a lot of like family discipline, like how were you disciplined growing up? Do you believe in beating a child? Do you believe in cussing at kids? Do you believe in like punishment like that? So that plays a role when it comes to upbringing and forming a bond, a unit with someone, because you have to be okay with that. Like if they grew up getting beat, there's a chance they may be whooping your kid down. So you just have to think about like those type, ask those questions like on the first couple of days, like, hey, what was your upbringing like? Did you get whooped a lot? Did you, you know, just ask those questions to kind of gauge where their mind is, because what people see when they grow up is what they believe is, you know, the standard and how things are supposed to go. So you have to be able to have, like, different views on certain things.
That's a great point. Wow. And as a single mother, I know usually, so in the past, I didn't always mention my son. And I think that was just in general because I had some apprehension towards how people may feel because I was a teen mother. And so I didn't want that stigma to be placed on me up front. But like now that I'm more mature, people definitely know, like when I'm dating, hey, I have a son. Granted, he's not like meeting them or anything, but I do talk about him just so I can see that person's perspective. Like you said, how they would discipline their children, or how they do discipline their children if they have kids. And you also want to see like their attitude towards your child. Like I've had, you know, people respond in different ways to someone else's kids. When they didn't, you know, birth a child, they'll respond differently. And you really get to see a man's heart whenever you mention your child. Like if I talk about my son and that person starts sending me stuff that would be of value to my son, I know, okay, that's a good sign. They're welcoming, you know, the possibility of a relationship. Yeah, yeah. So I think that's important.
Yeah, and you have to kind of pay attention to the signs while dating. Like, does this person ask about my kids? Do they inquire about how they're doing? Or when they call you, are they asking, what are you doing? Or what are y'all doing? Like, are they including the kid in the conversation? Or are they acting like your kid does not exist?
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So for the people that have, like, come and gone in my life, the, you know, as far as relationships, I think looking back, yeah, the ones that weren't that interested in my son, that didn't go too far.
It came because your kid is a part of you. Like if you don't accept me or my kid, you definitely can't accept me, because they're going to be there regardless.
Exactly.
Unless they're grown and out of the house, they're going to be there. So
but that's a for life thing too, you know, because my son is about to leave, but wherever he goes, I'm going to be somewhere close, like, you know, and he's going to still be around too.
Yeah, but that's also different from someone that has younger kids, kind of such as myself. Because, you know, he's going to be grown doing his own thing and, you know, building his own family after a while. Whereas if I were to bring someone here and around, like, they would be growing up seeing this person.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so that is a different dynamic. Yeah. You're right. Because, like, at this point, I discipline my son, but it's different from how I would have disciplined him when he was younger, you know. Okay, so that's a very valid point. They'll get kids, like your kids are younger, so they will go through different transition points of parenthood. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Dating while being a mom.
Right? Single moms, I don't really think anybody's down to single mothers these days. Like, I remember when
it's
I was younger.
So normal nowadays. You know, back in the day, you get frowned upon.
Like, yeah. I remember I had a job one time for about 3 years, and it took me at least a good 2 before they even knew that I had a kid. Like, I didn't talk about it because it used to be like such a negative thing. But now,
was it a negative thing, or were you making it that in your head?
No, like, people's response to me when I got pregnant as a teen, they made it such a negative thing towards me. Like, when I was cheerleading, they didn't give me my cheerleading uniforms. Like, I would have been the first Black varsity football captain cheerleader. They wouldn't give me my clothes when I was pregnant because they didn't want me to represent the school and be pregnant. And then I remember when I got induced for labor, the nurse looked at me and she was like, don't ever do this again, as if I was promiscuous when I really got pregnant the second time I had sex. So, like, people were really frowning upon it. Like, it wasn't just in my head.
No, I didn't mean like that, like in your head. More so like when you were working the job, not when you were younger and pregnant, carrying the child. When you mentioned that you were working the job and you didn't tell them, do you think your coworkers would have judged you, or were you just like thinking that, or you like know that they would have
so
differently?
Now that was the trauma speaking. In the situation with my coworkers, they would not have judged me. They didn't judge me when they found out I had a kid.
Okay, that's what everyone I was asking. I wasn't saying, yeah, I'm sure you faced some scrutiny, but yeah.
Yeah, no, in the workspace, everyone was okay with it. So that was an in my head thing.
That's what I was wondering.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think nowadays it's more nobody's really like, who cares at this point?
Right.
We all have life going on.
Is that Grant?
That is.
Girl, why does he feel like a baby?
That's him.
How does he sound like? I thought you had a baby over there. I was like, whose baby is visiting?
Nobody.
Wow. What is he doing?
It sounds like he's laughing and playing with Camille in there. I don't know. We're working on Grant.
I thought he was
crying. He was probably putting on, like, he'll act like he's crying. Yeah.
Gotta love it.
Right. So cool.
Did we talk about being equally young? We did. Okay, let's dig. Do you want to talk? Okay, so I saw on TikTok the other day this post, and in it said significant other means sign if I can't. And I thought that was so awesome. Like, I've never seen that spin on significant before.
Right?
Yeah, that's a good one. Sign if I can't.
Right? But hopefully we're never in that position where we can't.
Right. Right. We don't want to be in that situation.
I think equally yoked, that goes back. Make sure y'all's credit is equally yoked too.
Mm-hmm. It's okay to ask.
Oh, absolutely. Like, those are the real conversations we need to have with people. Like, the lovey-dovey, that's cute, I like you. But do you pay your bills on time? How many delinquencies do you have on your credit?
Do you have student loan debt?
How much debt do you have?
Good question.
Yeah, like you have to ask these things, because once you marry that person and y'all try to go get a house together and y'all are filling out this paperwork and he can't get approved, are you okay with just signing on that dotted line by yourself? And because your husband's credit, you know, wasn't worthy, are you okay with taking on such responsibility if that is the case? What about you? Like, what if you found out, you know, you and your man about to get this nice massive house together and then he can't get approved, but you can get approved for like the whole thing by yourself. How would you feel about that? How would you go about that?
When you say my man, do you mean my husband? Okay, because you know I was
talking about. Come on, we ain't buying houses with men we ain't married to. We're not doing.
You know, I was gonna go there. I was gonna go there. Okay, so like with my husband, I'm gonna know his credit and stuff before we get to that point. You know, like before the marriage, before we walk down the aisle, like. After he proposed, suppose I didn't know. We just get there and it's like, oh, you qualify for this, but your husband doesn't. My name's gonna be on the house, and it's gonna be my house. And if anything ever happens to where we shall part, which I don't wish that on my marriage, but if anything happens where we shall part, it's going to be my house.
Well, you have to check the rules in your state, because that varies. Like, whether your name is on there or not, being that y'all are married and they lived in the dwelling. Like, in Mississippi, half of that house would be theirs. Even though their name isn't on it, they're not on the deed, they could not have paid not one mortgage. But if that's your husband and they've lived in the house with you, half of the home belongs to them.
You're right, because they do have laws here too. I'm in Maryland, but like in Maryland and DC, where if you purchase the property after you're married, it's considered like collateral, like both people own the property technically. So, oh my gosh, that's a good point. Dang. Well, I mean,
that brings us to the prenup. Let's go.
Would you sign a prenup? Are you team prenup?
Absolutely, because I want someone to sign one. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Y'all let us know in the comments. Are you team prenup? Yes or no?
Team prenup over here.
I'll sign a prenup, but we don't have to have one.
We don't have to have one either, but if I get to a place where I know, like, okay, I have stuff to lose if this falls through, I run businesses, so I need my businesses protected. I need what you didn't build to be protected. Like, it's nothing personal. So from, like, a business aspect, sign them lines, baby.
Oh, my gosh. So for me, I'm just willing to go all in with my husband.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
I love that.
All of our stuff to be one, except for spending accounts. Like, I do think we should have, like, you know, I have my own spending funds. He has his own spending funds, because I don't know, or it could be one. But maybe
what if he wants you to sign a prenup?
What if he wants me to sign a prenup?
Mm-hmm.
I would sign a prenup with, like, 5-year conditions, where after, like, 5 years of marriage, it dissolves. But I was not a prenup.
Okay.
Yeah. And in that aspect, I'm pretty sure I'm going to have some things too. Cause like you said, I have businesses as well. So like if he wants me to sign a prenup, he's going to sign one too.
I mean, we only need one, so
It's only
they
one.
only need one, right?
I didn't know. So like when people get married, they do it like together. Like there's.
Because like you have all the terms written out in that one prenup.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we'll be prenupping together then.
Yeah, nothing personal, it's just business.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you want to be protected. Just like my lawyer told me when I was going through my divorce, had I put his name on my house, we would have been having to split this in the divorce, even though I had this prior to him entering the marriage. So,
Oh wow, I think that's messed up. Like if you purchased your home prior to, I think, but that's just an opinion. Like I'm not going against the law or anything, but just personal opinion. I think that whatever you acquire beforehand should belong to you alone, and then everything after the marriage could be like between the husband and wife. But that's just my personal opinion.
yeah.
Clearly, these are different.
Yeah.
Wow, yeah, marriage change a lot of stuff.
It's a business.
Yeah, you gotta make a good business decision and hire somebody with competence.
There you go. Make sure you are tight during the interview process. Ask the right questions. Do a phone interview. Do a face-to-face. You got to travel with a person. I think you should travel with a person, just to see how
Oh, that's a good
you.
one. My coworkers told me that. My colleagues told me that. I took a class earlier this year, and one of my colleagues said that I told her that I was dating someone. I was like, I really like this person. And she said, before you consider marrying somebody, you guys need to go overseas together. Because she was like, you know, it's gonna be a change of time zone. And she was like, you'll get to see how he leaves as a man. Like you'll get to see him with foreigners, you know, just like different dynamics, different cultures, whether or not they can even handle things, like if something were to happen, you know. That's a good
Yeah. Yeah, you have to see how these people move. Check out their family, like ask to go around their family to see how their family is living, like see what the dynamic is over there.
Wow.
Because you're getting into something that's more than just a lovey-dovey relationship. Like love is very minuscule when it comes to a marriage, I feel like.
Really? Oh, are you talking about like the feelings and the emotion part is small when it comes to like
Yeah,
permanent? Okay.
absolutely. Because people are getting divorced because of what? Infidelity for financial reasons. So if we
Wow.
were all just, oh, I'm love on cloud nine, you'd be able to work through that. But ain't that much love in the world to make me stick around and you cheating on me. It's
Cheating
not.
is a reason for like, you know, divorce. So it should definitely be a reason for someone to like cut off a relationship, I feel like.
Some people don't though. Like some people stick through there through men having babies on them. Could you stay with someone that had a baby on you?
That would be a hard one because you know, like the baby is something that's there for life. Like you don't get rid of that. Like you'll always be reminded of that infidelity and that person cheating on you and whatever the situation was in your life. I would say that for people who can accept that, they are very forgiving. But for me personally, it's hard to say because I haven't been through that, but just looking at that situation, like the question that you proposed, I don't have to say no. Like if that person cheated on me and got a baby, go be with your other family. Like you just created another family, so there you go.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I forgive, but it's very hard for me to forget. And that child will be a constant reminder. And I'm not that mature to accept another baby. I'll just go ahead and let you know now. You'll be asking me, you act like you don't love my other kid. I don't. So, you know, maybe. You know,
and it's not even about the kid. It's about the whole dynamic, the situation, you know.
Yeah, it was the disrespect that I endured on behalf of that. And you can't expect me to be accepting of something so disrespectful. So, but I know women that do. I know women that do. And like she said, you're very forgiving. And I commend you.
That's beautiful. Like if somebody can salvage their marriage after, you know, someone has like an outside child. But for me personally, the child was outside. I'm gonna be outside.
Maybe you outside.
Yeah, it is a wrap after this show is done.
Right. Congratulations, my guy.
Yeah, you casted somebody else because I'm out.
Yeah. Mm-mm. Yeah.
And ladies, just know your worth and your value. You don't have to accept anything below the standards that you've already placed in your heart. And if you're dating someone who goes against your top three, like your deal breakers or your standards, that's where you want to go ahead and cut it off. You don't want to become so attached and then, you know, you're in love and then you're married and that person still carries those same behaviors into the marriage and like, then you have a mess, you know? So it's good to cut stuff off like that early.
Yeah.
I feel like when men cheat, and this is just, y'all let me know. Let me know if I'm wrong because I'm not a man. But I kind of think that when men cheat, it's a behavior issue. Like it's something, I don't want to say a behavior issue because that sounds like kiddish, right? Like a child. Like, but what I mean by that is there's something internal. I believe that there's something internal that causes the man to cheat. Maybe he's not ready for a commitment, or maybe he's modeling some other behavior. Or if he just up and cheats, maybe there's something going on inside of the relationship that caused him to try to receive comfort or something, whatever he's looking for elsewhere. So I feel like those things, there are some signs prior to a man just going out and having a whole baby. Like something was visible before that point. That's just a thought.
Yeah, I don't even try to wrap my brain around why men cheat. I mean, because people do what they want to do at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So some people get bored. Some people are looking to fill a void. Some people are lacking something in their current relationship or marriage. Some people just want something to do. Some people get a thrill out of it. It's,
oh, well,
some people cheat just to see if they can cheat.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Just to see if they can get away with it.
Mm-hmm. Just to see how much you'll put on it. I'm telling you.
Well, I don't mind. It's a devil's workshop, so I wouldn't date a man that doesn't have much going on. I'm just going to put it like that. Like, if he doesn't have a lot going on, I don't want him.
Mm-mm.
You need to be busy, baby. Like,
I feet to the ground, right?
I should look at you and be like, oh, baby, he's so busy.
Or you work so hard.
Yeah. Are you going to rest? Like, you should take a day off. They'd be like, I can't take a day off. I know it'll work.
Maybe you deserve a vacation, right? But some of these men, you'll be out working the man and they'll just be sitting around looking at you doing it. And secretly have this animosity in their head because you're out here getting to it. Yeah.
Yeah. I want my man to inspire me through like his discipline and his ambition and his passion for what he does. That turns me on. Like, I love consistency and discipline. And when I see that does something real special because a lot of men don't have discipline or consistency.
I agree. A lot of men don't have self-discipline.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I need him to be busy.
Yeah, I want him to be so busy. He make me feel like I'm not working hard enough. Like, oh, let me put in more work to get in there and match what my man is doing.
Right. That goes back to being equally yoked.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, if you live in a routine life and you don't have much going on, maybe you can afford to get a man that just goes to work and come home and eat dinner. That's it. Yeah. Do what works for you. But for me, I like them busy.
Busy. Always checking their email.
Yeah. Talking about their clients. Tell me about your clients.
Yes. What happened, babe? What happened at work?
Right.
Yeah. So I would say definitely if you guys have any other topics that you want to hear us talk about, you can definitely check out the comment section below. I'll have our contact information. You can follow us on social media.
We are also published authors, you guys. Kristen has published Shattered Vows. I published Letters to Her, The Repair of the Breach. And these are all books that intertwine. Look at you. Wait a minute.
These are books that you must have. These are some must haves. Okay?
Yeah, you need these books because they all deal with helping women, just helping women through relationships, how to overcome and how to be how to be a high value woman. If you want to move in your feminine and attract your provider husband, your equally yoked partner, you need these books in your life to break generational curses and be the best you.
Yes, I definitely agree. And I will link those links below so you guys can go check those out as well. And if you get the book, take a picture and tag us on social media so we can repost it.
Let us know because we wanna see y'all do some vibing with us too. Come on.
Yes. So until next time.
See you all. Your favorite bestie duo is out. Peace.